Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. So if you will stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures, I will read to you this scripture. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came, and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let them grow together unto the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You may be seated. I will talk about this scripture at the end of my message. I was reading the New Covenant Messenger. It was 10 years ago. There was a 14-series article that I wrote that was talking about what happened to America. That wasn't the name of the article, but that's what it was talking about. I don't know if any of you remember that. It lasted for over a year. Pastor Blanchard asked me if I would write a little bit for his book, What Happened to America, but centering on the race issue. So this is part that will go into this article that I'm writing. The name of this article is What Happened to America? And the part one is How Did It Begin? The American way of life under the Articles of Confederation and later the Constitution during America's first 90 years of existence had laws and traditions that in today's liberal culture seem to be very strange. In fact, most present-day Americans would be totally repulsed to live in such a politically incorrect society, but it was Christian-based. How would you like to live in a nation which only white males over 21 years old who were landowners and paid taxes were allowed to vote, hold office, and be in the militia? Think about that today. Would you be allowed to vote, hold office, or be in the militia? Do you own land? Are you a taxpayer? And are you a white and over 21 years old? Some offices had to be filled by a white man of an older age. And then the shocking one, no women of any race, that includes the white race, could vote or hold an office until what year? 1920. So the United States of America has had this practice of no one except white men voting and holding office for 93 years of its history. And then certain blacks could vote for 144 years. Asian Pacific Americans were considered aliens ineligible for citizenship since 1790 and did not vote in large numbers until after 1965, which is 48 years ago, compared to only 93 years of allowing women of all races the right to vote. What a difference this law would have made in the last two presidential elections if the laws of the nation would not have been changed. Barack Obama could not be president under any condition. He would not even have been allowed to run, for he wouldn't be allowed to hold the office of a senator or as a president for many years of our nation. For Barack Obama is a mulatto. Mitt Romney couldn't be president either, for he was a natural-born citizen, as was Obama too. Only certain 12 Christian white men were allowed to be on the jury to judge their peers. Now we get to the George Zimmerman case. There were 6 women instead of 12 Christian men on the jury. And that had been outlawed. And who was the judge? A woman. She wouldn't be the judge either. George Zimmerman, who's half Hispanic, half Jewish in this multicultural background, he's not a white man. And Trayvon Martin is a black criminal who, instead of being suspended from school 3 times this year, should have been arrested. I'm getting so sick of seeing these interviews. I saw one last night with the lady, I forget her name, but she was practically crying with the mother of Trayvon Martin, elating the death of her son with the death of her son. Trayvon was serving one of these suspensions when he went where? To his father's fiance's house. And the incident happened. His parents were what? Divorced. I wonder how many people know that. You see them on TV together the whole time. What year were they divorced in? 1999. Trayvon was 3 years old when they were divorced. His mother had very little influence on Trayvon. He lived in Miami, and he died in a suburb of Orlando. He was staying during his school suspension because the mother couldn't take care of him, with his father and his 3rd fiancée. Most people don't know that Trayvon's parents have already sued and won. Who'd they sue? The Homeowners Association. How much money did they win from the Homeowners Association? $1 million. There's big money in this case. I would like a reporter to ask him the question. How you enjoying the $1 million? How come you love Trayvon so much you weren't with him from the year 3 to the year 17 very much at all? But that shows you how they are manipulating this whole episode. And then Joe told us what else is going on they're not reporting. If you believe that the media doesn't influence things, I think there's no hope for you. White men were the only ones who were allowed to hold office, vote, and run most companies and corporations. Well, what was the white woman's job? They were the ones whose job it was to give birth to the children and to biblically do what? Guide the home. Other races and women were granted this privilege of being on the jury after 1865. The judges had to be Christian white men. For what law were they judging? Now, later psychology, which is totally unbiblical, came into being in the late 1800s. And it crept into every area of American society, including almost every church. These unbiblical psychology courses are now taught in almost all so-called Christian schools and universities, as well as preached from almost all the pulpits. Women were not in positions of leadership. They didn't speak to public audiences where men were present. Very few women went to college except for nursing and education. And I saw the contracts issued to women who taught. They were dropped out of the contract when they got what? Married. They're only valid until the woman got married. Today there are more women studying in college and universities than men. They will soon be the main breadwinners in the majority of homes. If they have babies, they will take a few weeks off of work, then they'll return right back to work. Their little children are watched by someone else. We have changed from a patriarchal society to a matriarchal society. Birth control and abortion were both against the law. There were jail and death sentences for the murder of a child in the womb. Birth control was the first to go. When did it go? 1914. The movement began in the opening of a clinic dealing with contraceptives and birth control. Then there was the famous Supreme Court case, Roe versus Wade, which changed the legality of the murder of the baby in the womb in 1973. The law made abortion legal, but it still was unlawful. As a result, there have been over 50 million murders of unborn babies in America in the last 40 years. There might have been more than 50 million. A few Christians have opposed these murders, but only a few have put forth any effort to prevent them. Now we have pornography, sex toys, sexual games, and about anything that the mind can think of in the ways of sexual perversion available to most of the people with a computer, a local grocery store, or an adult store to access them from. The currency was originally backed by silver and gold. Slowly, the money was taken off the gold and silver standard. Then there's Federal Reserve notes. Our currency has eventually progressed to a fiat or even a digital currency. We now have credit instead of just money. We actually live in an illusionary world with our money backed by nothing but the trust of the people. In the beginning, the people in the nation were very seldom in debt. In 1900, there were 98% of the families who owned their own homes. 2% had mortgages. Now the numbers are about reversed. The battle in our nation was the banking families who wanted the nation to be under their ungodly usury banking. Once they gained this monopolized power, they soon had the power to issue credit cards to the inhabitants in the nation. Now the individuals of the country are greatly in debt with all kinds of loans. The average college graduate, is now in debt in student loans in the amount of $23,000. That's the average. And there is now more student loan debt than the unsecured credit card debt. As Mark told us last Sunday, usury and what other crime were both biblical crimes that were punishable by death. Usury and sodomy were linked together. And he said, Ezra Pound, whose obsession with crackpot economics took him down many historical byways, argued that usury and sodomy, who condemned those two? The church. He said, the church condemned it as a pair to one hell. The same for one reason, namely that they are both against natural increase. We have them both now, don't we? Usury and sodomy. So what are we having now? They are taught in the Talmud and are promoted by the stranger. And if you don't know what that word is, I suggest you go back and hear Mark's sermon the week before mine. Christianity kept usury out of where? Europe. For most of the Middle Ages. And the Jews were kept out of participating in the rights of citizenship in the white nations. Christmas, Halloween, and Easter were non-events. What? Christmas, Halloween, and Easter were non-events except in Maryland and other smaller areas where there was a large Catholic population. Why? Our nation was mainly a Protestant nation. As Protestants, they did not keep these Roman Catholic Church holidays. The pilgrims knew that they were Roman Catholic holidays, and they so stated it. They had a law that they had to work every Christmas day with no large meals fixed except when it fell on the Sabbath day, which was Sunday. They had a fine of 5 shillings for every person caught celebrating Christmas. The fine was lifted in the year 1681. This is true also with Congress until the late 1800s. Christmas was not a holiday for them either. They worked on Christmas Day unless it was on a Sunday. The change did not come until after the war between the states and with Unitarian Charles Dickens's writing of his famous novel, A Christmas Carol. There were so many deaths in the war between the states, it's estimated how many people died. 800,000 people in America died in that war. That the Protestants gave in to the lie of the Catholic holidays. And the novel, written by Charles Dickens, changed the nation to a Catholic Christmas tradition in America by presenting to it the mean old person. What was his name? Scrooge, who was against Christmas. Christmas, Easter, and Halloween are three of the biggest holidays in the nation. None of these holidays are any of God's holy days that he told his people to keep. He told them to keep what? Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Jesus Christ, you can prove from the scriptures, was not born in the winter. He didn't die and resurrect on Easter. It even says that in the Bible. It happened on Passover. And there's no holiday to match Halloween except for the made-up holiday of the Catholics, All Saints' Day. Let's see, Tabernacles is when Jesus was born. Passover is when he died and when he was resurrected. And Pentecost was the great revival of the church. All three are pagan holidays. In the beginning of our nation, they were not kept until the end of the 1800s. The nation did not keep these Catholic pagan holidays, except there were a significant number of Roman Catholics present. There were no income taxes. Hey, that's good, isn't it? And no Social Security system until the 1920s. The income tax is not a tax on the income of the individual, but it's a tax on their wages, not their income. The taxes are paid to the owners of the Federal Reserve banking system, who are mostly foreigners. The Social Security system was set up with the purpose to enslave the people. There have been pages of different taxes which have been added to the American wage earner. The number of taxes is staggering to the mind of the average American taxpayer. There was no Federal Reserve banking system, no Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, no Internal Revenue System until about 100 years ago. It wasn't needed. How'd the country pay most of its taxes? By tariffs. Now, we have seen how these disastrous effects these three organizations have brought to the American people. The latest episode is the FBI has refused to investigate the prejudicial policy of the IRS over the tax abatement of many conservative organizations. Conservative groups have been audited, and they waited for years to get their tax-free allotment, and the IRS wouldn't give it to them. They sent one organization 137 pages of questions to answer. And now the IRS will have the power to enforce the Obama health care system? Same-sex marriages were never even thought of as a possibility, let alone a law which permitted it. In the beginning of our nation, it was considered an abomination against God, as was sodomy, transgendered, bisexuality, and lesbianism. They were all considered a crime against society and a shameful sin against God. That's why in the beginning part of our nation, sodomites were where? In the closet. And they were afraid to come out. Allopathic and homeopathic doctors were in a competing battle in health in the 1800s. Allopathic doctors believed that they must drive the disease from the body. They did this using three different methods. One, they bled the body to get rid of the disease. That means they cut the vein, the blood came out. This happened to George Washington. That was one of the reasons given for his death. They bled him. He lost too much blood. They replaced some of the bled blood with mercury. Oh, that doesn't sound too good. Mercury, lead, and other toxic materials to fight the disease. They also used surgery. Without adequate anesthesiology to help, most people feared surgeries. Homeopathic tried to encourage the body to fight disease itself. Instead of using toxic materials, they used vegetable materials in small amounts. They especially favored herbs, which has been used for many cultures throughout the prior centuries. Herbs is talked about in the Bible to be for the service of mankind. The two groups battled until the turn of the 1900s. Then the financial giants of the United States. Carnegie, who else? Rockefeller, and Warburg. Who'd they support? Allopathic or homeopathic? Allopathic doctors with their new improved techniques. A surgery with the improved anesthesiology, radiology, and new, didn't happen before, but you get new synthetic drugs with a petroleum base. There were supreme battles between the two ways of helping people with their disease. I talked about one, probably the last sermon I gave, between Harry Hoxie and the 12 other doctors who had a way to cure cancer. But the allopathic doctors won over the homeopathic doctors. What's the number one cause of death in the United States right now? The wrong use of and overdoses of prescription drugs. Most non-essential businesses were closed on Sunday. The Sabbath day of most Christians. Isn't that interesting? This is in our lifetime. If you're as old as I am, you know that was true. Some essential businesses were open on a rotating business. So some gas stations, they would close 3 out of 4 of them and wouldn't be open. They rotate one day a month. Now almost all stores are open 7 days a week. They are closed for the Roman Catholic secular Christmas Day. That's the only day they're closed. Now, there are some restaurants like Chick-fil-A. They're closed every Sabbath day. And I went to their website and I read why they're closed. It is to provide their employees, quote, an opportunity to rest, spend time with the family and friends, and worship if they choose to do so. Other stores in the malls complained about Chick-fil-A's closing on Sunday, that their closing would reduce walk-in traffic at the malls. But Chick-fil-A is doing very well financially, keeping God's law on the Sabbath. I have noticed that many amateur sports teams play on Sunday. Many games on Sunday morning. Why is that? So the parents and friends and ball players can't do what? Go to church if they wanted to. Professional sports regularly play on the Christian Sabbath. Stores are open. Now university and high school sports teams are beginning to play on Sunday. Sunday is fast becoming almost like any other day of the week. It was against the law to teach the theory of evolution instead of creation as being a fact in the public schools. This was changed with the famous Scopes trial when William Jennings Bryan did not know about the early part of Genesis and gave the wrong answers in the court to the questions he was asked. Evolution wasn't even taught until the 1800s. Before 1900, there were very few public schools. Go back and see when the schools started. The high school I went to was the oldest high school, the second oldest high school west of the Allegheny Mountains. It was started in the mid-1800s. Now evolution is taught in many places as a fact, not a theory. The public schools are now compulsory to the age of 18 now in Kentucky for both boys and girls. Oh, milk was not pasteurized or homogenized. What did they drink? Raw milk. The drinking water did not contain fluoride, which is an aluminum byproduct. There were no GMO products and no large corporate farms. There were very few processed foods available to the American shopper. No HAARP, which is producing extreme weather conditions. No chemical trails. No drought-caused firestorms or flooding in other parts of the country. God is judging his people with the consequences given in Deuteronomy chapter 28 through 30. It was not uncommon for a family to have more than 10 children. Well, gee, that was our mother's family. They weren't wealthy, but they lived on a farm. If you live on a farm, you're able to feed your children. Today, because most white Americans have left the farm, and because many are aborting their babies in the womb, they're not even reproducing themselves. Many couples are unable to physically have any of their own children. Marriage between a man and a woman was the only lawful and legal way in the early days of the United States. But what's happened the last 50 years? The struggle has been pulling the younger members of the country towards intolerance, to what our God says is an abomination. Many couples don't even marry. They just live together and have children. Daycare centers are becoming a major business and a major part of the couple's lives. The immigration of the United States changed from mostly Christian white men and Christian white women from Europe to third world immigrants in the last century. Roman Catholics and Jews, as well as the vast majority of non-Christian immigrants, have put America in a very bad position in regards to their serving their God. Now we have so many third world people immigrating, legally and illegally, to the United States that the Caucasian race has lost its majority in two states already. Does anybody know what two states have lost their all-white majority? New Mexico and California. By the year 2025, that's how many years? 12. In 12 more years, it is projected that the United States will no longer be inhabited by a majority of the white race. So if you live 12 more years, you'll see it. And it'll probably be faster than that. Children were disciplined with the rod in both the home and school. If I asked how many here were swatted with a rod or a paddle or a switch, I think most of you would raise your hand. But if I asked the children, probably nobody would raise their hand. Doctor Who? Dr. Spock helped end this practice in the public schools and in most of the homes. I remember our parents getting old Dr. Spock in the magazine and reading what he was saying. The present day generation, most of whom have never experienced the process of a spanking. Now, it's not a beating, it's a spanking. Has become the most violent we have ever experienced in the nation's history. Oh, here's a good one. Couples did what? Courted instead of dated. Now, my mother's family, they courted. She would tell me about it, how they courted. But I never courted. It changed. Couples were not allowed to be alone with a member of the opposite sex as they are when they date. This all changed with the automobile. Along with rock and roll music, the nation suffered through a sexual revolution, which led to sexual promiscuity and all kinds of sexual perversion. The music stole our youth and put them on a path of destruction. Many Israelites originally lived on farms, not in big cities. Many of them lost their lands or the ability to make a living farming. When they lost the ability to grow their own food, they lost the ability to support a large family. Do you remember what I told you the Protocols of Zion said about this? It revealed that it was important for the Jews to get the Gentiles, that's the non-Israelites, that is the Israelites, excuse me, the Gentiles are the Israelites, from owning their own land. Oh, there were very few people who were divorced in the beginning of the nation's history. Then came the phrase, what phrase? Thank you. Say it again. Differences. That may was the reason given for most divorces. And the divorce rate skyrocketed. The sexual revolution of the 1960s also added to the divorce rate. People began to have sex outside of marriage at an alarming rate. Very few brides and grooms are virgins when they get married. Women and men become equal in the eyes of mankind and in the eyes of their universal God, but not in the eyes of the covenant God. Girls do not grow up learning how to be a good wife. They learn how to have a good career. Many women today have never learned how to cook a meal from scratch, how to sew, how to clean up a house, or even how to rear their children. They are no longer trained to be a good wife and a good mother. They are trained to be equal with men. They go to college or the university, get the same jobs that men get with equal pay. Women are now CEOs, presidents, vice presidents, board members, principals, frontline fighters in the armed forces. And when they marry, if at all, they have children when they are convenient. If they become pregnant early in life or when the future child is not at the right time, many just take an abortion pill or have surgery to murder the baby in their womb. Here's a good one. When we didn't have air conditioning in our homes, schools, and businesses, what was true? The men dressed in suits and a hat. Every man had a hat. He had a whole bunch of hats. My father had all kinds of hats. Grandpa had all kinds of hats. I don't have any hat, unless it's a baseball hat. And the women had long dresses. I remember when pants came in the schools. There's a big argument. What about the swimming attire for women? Did you ever see what our mother wore to the swimming pool? It's like a pant-like suit. And now it's bikini swimsuits for women. The long dresses that went to the floor are now are short skirts or shorts. The casual look is now the most frequent kind of dress. And you know, most swimming areas were same-sex. Women swim in one and men swim in the other. As were many schools, all-girls school, all-boys school. People now go to church dressed very casual. Some even wear shorts and sip a cup of coffee. In the beginning of our nation, with hard work, most could make a good living. Have you noticed that now we have added casinos? Oh, Cincinnati has got one. There's a couple in Lawrenceburg. Slot machines, horse race tracks, card games, race car tracks, and all kinds of sport games that you can gamble on. Gambling along with lottos and other games of chance is becoming bigger and bigger each year. And there is many more. But I think we've covered enough. Now let me review. How would you like to live in the original United States? Let's go back to the 1780s. How would you like to live in this country? There was little gambling available. No air conditioning. Many swimming areas were for same-sex swimming only, as were many public schools, if they had a public school you could go to. Women dressed a lot more modestly. There were a lot fewer divorces. Women were trained and expected to be a stay-at-home mom. A man first asked the woman's father if it was okay for him to start courting his daughter. And the number of unwed babies was very low. The newly married couple would probably live on a small farm. And I will tell you that the pilgrims made, what occupation did they outlaw? Lawyers. Didn't last very long, but they were right on the nose. Most of the lawyers are politicians now. They had a lot more children than couples have today. They used the rod or switch or paddle for discipline. Birth control and abortions were illegal and unlawful. Pornography was also against the law. Their daughters did not desire to have a career. They desired to have a good Christian husband. There were a few divorces. Most children were homeschooled. There were no telephones. There was no electricity, no radios, televisions, iPods, computers, cell phones, no indoor plumbing, no movie theaters, very few processed foods, no big retail stores, no shopping malls, no credit cards, no Federal Reserve notes, no automobiles, no trains, no airlines. In fact, most products and services had to be paid for in cash when they were purchased. There was little if no insurance payments, no house insurance. There were no cars, life insurance. If they had the home destroyed by a storm or a fire, the neighbors usually joined in and helped the family rebuild their home. Did you ever watch The Waltons? Sunday was a day of rest. Rest. We're all too tense. Most of America went to their own racial church and did not do their regular work. If they lived on a farm, they rotated their crops. Some observed the Jubilee. And many did not put themselves in slavery by taking on usury debt. They were drug-free. There was no rock and roll music. And what dance was the most popular of all dances? The square dance. There was no rock concerts, no celebrities. And the biggest thing in town was a debate between two interesting men with different ideas. They did not celebrate Christmas, Easter, and Halloween. In fact, many towns had laws against the celebration of these Roman Catholic holidays. The majority was Protestant. And they remembered the suffering and death that they suffered at the hands of the Romanists in Europe. Immigration came from the countries of the Protestant Reformation, which was Europe. Roman Catholics and Jews were forbidden by law from holding any office and voting in any state election. In fact, the only one who was allowed to vote was a white male who was older than 21, who owned land and paid taxes. All men, women, and children of other races, and that also included the white race for women, were not citizens of this new country. Who would like to live in the United States of America, this new country? There was another area of the former life in this nation that's not talked about very much now. America was a white nation discovered by white people, settled and colonized by white people, governed by white people, with few of any other race or culture living in the land that was given to Joseph. It was established as a Christian Republic nation. How did all this change in over 200 years of its existence? What caused the change in race relations? We're now not a Christian Republic nation. What are we? A multicultural, democratic country. Interracial marriage was illegal and also unlawful in the nation. And it was considered to be such a horrible sin that it was forbidden. The penalty for those who were guilty of interracial marriage was to be put in jail or murdered. Interracial marriages began when the marriage licenses came into being in the late 1800s. Most of them were married by a justice of the peace, as the vast majority of churches did not marry racially mixed couples. Today, the church has changed from being the most segregated place on Sunday morning to an integrated apostate church. We had Baptists, Methodists, Lutherans, Quakers, Anglicans, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, Unitarians, and Congregationalists were most of the major denominations in America in the beginning. Almost all of these were all white churches, with all black churches existing independently also. There was also a large number of Mennonites and Amish who came to this country. They were true Christians who refused to trade the new inventions which would make their lives more convenient for some of Satan's wiles. Now we have new restoration churches were added in the 1800s. The Christian Church, the Church of Christ, Church of Latter-day Saints, Jehovah Witnesses, were a few of these restored churches which admitted different races and added false doctrines. But today we have a host of new Christian churches, mega churches. Well, there's the Vineyard, Cornerstone, Crossroads, Crystal Cathedral, and so on. Churches that have what kind of congregations? Multicultural. And what's their theme? Judeo-Christianity. Slavery was legal and lawful in many states and protected by the Constitution. Shortly before the War of Northern Aggression, there were movements to pay the slaveholder for their slaves and ship them back to Africa. Many were taken back to the nation of Liberia. Slavery was economically impossible to maintain. But the abolitionists saw the opportunity to exploit the situation and do what no other society had ever done. What did they want to do? What did the abolitionists was in favor of? free the slave with no monetary payback given to the slaveholder. No country had ever done that. Apartheid was basically the law of the nation. Oh, just like South Africa. Separate but equal were the words used to describe America during this time. Many elementary, middle, and high schools, as well as most colleges and universities, were racially segregated. I think I told you several times about what I discovered in the South when I went there on vacation. There were separate drinking fountains. One of them said white water, the other said colored water. And I yelled to Joyce, "Joyce, there's some Kool-Aid over here." And I took the colored fountain. It was white. It was white water. What's the deal here? People looked at me very strange, torched. The whites lived in one area of town. The blacks lived in another. They did not live in the same neighborhood. The armed forces, the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, National Guard were white. Yeah. As well as the college and university ball teams and the major leagues. Most people don't realize Major League Baseball was all white. Not all white, because they had some Jews in there. Major League Baseball became integrated in what year? 1947. When Jackie Robinson joined the Brooklyn Dodgers. That started the integration of the other professional sports. I think everyone's heard of the black major leagues, all black major leagues. Now we have practically everything integrated by law. Public schools, the armed forces. The armed forces now has all the sodomites. Major league ball teams. Sodomites are in those. Businesses, public transportation, and most former Christian churches. What did the Constitution have to do in this change in the nation's history? It gave to the other religions. What religions? Non-Christian religions. The right to hold office and vote in federal elections. Roman Catholics, Jews, and Quakers were three of the different religious groups that first benefited from the Constitution in Article Section Chapter 6. Jewry in 1776 had at most how many people in the United States? 2,500. Where'd they live? New York, New York. Newport, Rhode Island. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Charleston, South Carolina. When I say these towns, there's going to be things that's going to happen in these towns. Charleston was the center of for what? Freemasonry. Savannah, Georgia. This minuscule American Jewry of the 1700s was not happy with the new fiscal and political policies Great Britain was formulating on for her empire. Great Britain was adding taxes to the colonies to pay for the Seven Years' War. What happened to the Seven Years' War? They drove the French out of North America. So you should pay for it. To achieve this end, imperial controls were tightened. The new empire was to be more closely integrated. Since the menace of the French had been removed, the colonists no longer needed the mother country and moved towards autonomy. Taking advantage of the emergent national consciousness which had been shaping it for almost a generation, the extremists pushed for independence and began piling up military supplies. In the attempt to anticipate an uprising, the British marched on Lexington and Concord in April 1775. And the war was on. After a couple of years, the Revolutionary War was over. And we were under the Articles of Confederation. Most people don't realize that. For how long? 13 years. Then a group of white men met in secret in order to formulate a new, stronger central government. It wasn't until after the ratification of this Constitution that who was greatly satisfied? The Jews and the Roman Catholics. Article 6 declared categorically that no what? Religious test. What kind of religious test was that? A Christian religious test. Would ever be required for any office in the federal government. The adoption of the United States Constitution was one of the most important events in the entire history of Jewry. American Jewry was the modern world's first free Jewry. I want to say that again. American Jewry was the modern world's first free Jewry. I'll talk about more the next message about that. One can well understand why the Jews of Philadelphia joined so gladly in the federal parade of July 4th, 1788. In this, the greatest spectacle that America has yet witnessed, the apostate Christian clergy walked arm in arm with Rabbi Jacob R. Cohen, celebrating Article 6 of the Constitution. The summer the Constitution was being debated, Joseph Phillips, a Jewish merchant, went to the convention and asked for religious equality. Christianity equal to the Judaism? One says that Jesus Christ is now in hell, boiling in a pot of semen, and the other says that Jesus Christ is our Savior. That's equal? Phillips pointed out to the assembled politicians that the 1776 Pennsylvania organic statute contained a Christian test oath. He asked the federal convention to take action against it. But of course, the federal delegates had no authority to alter any state constitution. State rights were paramount. The 11 commonwealths were slow to honor their commitments implicit in the individual Bill of Rights. It took 100 years after New York emancipated its Jews before the last state, New Hampshire, permitted both Jews and Catholics to serve in a legislative office in the year 1877. The enemies of Christians had gotten their big break. Instead of being what? Evicted from the nation as they had in Europe. They were invited to hold office in the federal government. The Jews and Roman Catholics are universal liberals. For their clergy and rabbis preached the false gospel of the what? Fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of men. This is the popular and main doctrine of most Christian churches in the present time. Quote, God is the Father of each and every person on the earth, and all men are brothers. There is only one race, the human race, unquote. The covenant doctrine of the Holy Bible is very seldom even understood by the vast number of so-called Christians. Why? Because most Christians do not read or study their Bibles. And the ones that do read new translations that are full of all kinds of mistranslations and interpretations. America went from the Calvinistic position, that's the Presbyterians and Lutherans, to the Arminian position, with very few ever hearing of the covenant position. The enemy struck down the main Christian doctrine. Christianity was being put to sleep. There can be little doubt that America was established according to prophecy to be the homeland of God's regathered Israel. We became the city on a hill, the light that shone around the world, the mountain of God's holiness. Now I'll come to our scripture reading. We also became the number one target for who? The terrors, who are called the enemies of God. I believe they're children of Satan. God blessed us a table in the sight and presence of our enemies. And in spite of what they did, they could not take away our joy, our prosperity, and our blessing. They debauched our money. They put us in wars. They busted our paper finances. But they got us to serve other gods, thereby making our God punish us. Let's ask a question about this little parable. Does God love the tares? I say hardly. Wheat is sown by God, and tares are sown by the enemy. Each was sown one way. And according to God's law, each reproduces after its kind. Wheat produces wheat, and tares produces tares. They grow together, and they're separated unchanged at the harvest time. We know that one cannot turn into the other by belief. You think what Answers in Genesis says. A tare can't turn into a wheat. A wheat can't turn into a tare. A goat can't change into a sheep. Now here's a letter from Alexander Hamilton. It's parts of a letter. Opinions for a long time have been gradually gaining ground, which threatened the foundations of religion, morality, and society. What's he talking about? An attack was first made upon the Christian revelation, for which natural religion was offered as a substitute. What's he say is going on? The gospel was to be discarded as a gross imposture, but the being and attributes of God, the obligations of piety, even the doctrine of future state of rewards and punishments were to be retained and cherished. He goes on in his letter and says, in proportion as success has appeared to attend the plan, a bolder project has been unfolded. The very existence of a deity has been questioned and in some instances denied. The duty of piety has been ridiculed. The perishable nature of man asserted and his hopes abounded in the short span of his earthly state. I would say the battle was on. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.